Hebrews chapter 11. This is probably the last night that you're going to have slides for a while. So make sure you bring your Bibles this week, okay? Make sure you bring your Bibles. So in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 32 through 40, we'll use this passage as a way of introduction for tonight's message. And the Bible says this. It says, "And what shall I more say? For time would fail me to tell of gods, of Gideon and of Barak, and of Samson and of Jephthah, of David also and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their death, raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawed asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and in goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having attained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect." Tonight I want to talk about faithful witnesses and difficult places. Faithful witnesses and difficult places. I would think that as we go through these times, we see difficult times. We have dealt with difficult challenges as individuals and as a church, especially through this pandemic and then all the other economic things that have happened because of that. But my God is still in control. My God is still in control. So tonight I wanted to look at several of these witnesses. This is kind of like a survey of these. And we'll see what they can reveal to us as what we should be as witnesses. Witnesses for Christ or witnesses for God are, first of all, commanded. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, the Bible says this, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be" what? Everybody say it.
Witnesses.
Witnesses unto who?
Me.
And who's the me? God. Okay? "Both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost part of the earth." Folks, that is a commandment. This morning in our class, we talked about spiritual gifts. And there is the gift of evangelism. But everybody who's a Christian needs to go out and witness. We need to share the gospel. That's what Christ told his disciples. Because if we don't share, nothing will happen. That's the one thing guaranteed, that nothing will happen when you do nothing. And we as witnesses of Christ are commanded. We as witnesses of Christ, it needs to be comprehensive. Okay? Comprehensive. What does that mean? Every time God's going to bring judgment on the world, He brings the gospel. We saw that when we went through the book of Revelation. And here, Christ is talking about the last days to His disciples. And it says, "And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come." Why do we as churches think that this job is done?
Yeah, right.
It's not done.
Right.
And until Christ calls us home, we need to go out and witness for Him. Because we've got the power. He's told us to do this. And we need to continue to do it until He concludes the church age. So we as Christians, as witnesses for Christ, are commanded. It is a comprehensive thing to the end, all over the world, all encompassing, but it's all summarized in Jesus Christ. Thirdly, we as witnesses for Christ need to be consistent. We need to be consistent. In Proverbs chapter 14, verse 5, it says, a faithful witness will not lie. They will not. Oh, by the way, lying is fudging the truth. It's twisting the truth. It's not telling all the truth. That's a lie. If it's not the total truth, if it's not absolute truth, it's a lie. It's a lie. It says a faithful witness will not lie, but a false witness will utter lies. What comes out of your mouth? Truth or lies? See, this is about witnessing. And we're looking at faithful witnesses in difficult places. The first one, we talked about him a couple of weeks ago. Noah in a godless world. You know, Christ uses the time of Noah as a sign of his soon return. And it says, as in the days of Noah, so it will be in the what? The last days that people will be marrying and giving in marriage. Paul writes to Timothy, he says, in the last days people will be like this. We see Paul writing in the book of Romans, he says that evil will be considered good and good will be considered evil. And you turn on the TV and you see that now. You see that now. Noah in a godless world. In 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, it says, and spare not the old world, but save Noah, the eighth person. He also saved his family. And folks, the first responsibility we have as witnesses for Christ is to our families. First of all, how is our relationship with Christ? And then how is our family relationship with Christ? And it doesn't end. It just keeps on going. The eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the what? Ungodly. On the world of ungodly. You go back to Genesis chapter 6 and you can see how ungodly it was. You know, the amazing thing was, it's less 1,656 years from the time of Adam to the time of the flood. How soon man can mess up the world? Look at how the world's been messed up in the last 6 months. Folks, we need to look up. Our redemption draweth nigh. We need to work because the night's coming when no man can work. Okay? And our salvation is closer than when we first believed. I keep on telling people at work that I'm one day closer. He said, when are you going to retire? I said, well, I'm one day closer. When are we going to see Jesus? Well, I'm one day closer. Every day we live for Him, we're one day closer. Every day we live, we're one day closer. His walk. Here's His witness. In Genesis chapter 6, verse 9, we already know verse 8, it says, but Noah found what? Grace in the sight of God. Why did he do it? Because he was different. Here's a world going down the wrong path. And God said, I've had enough. 120 years, it's going to be over. But Noah found grace in the sight of God. He says, these are the generation of Noah. Was a what? Just man. See, a faithful witness needs to be a just person, and needs to be perfect in his generation. He was trying to be as godly as he could. Folks, we need to be as godly as we can be. Be ye holy, even as I am holy. Come out from among them. Touch not the unclean thing. And Noah walked with God. Are you walking with God tonight? See, to be a faithful witness, you need to walk with God. So Noah, to a godless world, his walk was such that he was just and he was perfect and he walked with God. The second thing is his work. It says here in this verse, he was a preacher of what? Righteousness. It wasn't like, I got a secret. He didn't have some big canvas over top of that ark like these reveal shows. where you renovate the thing and says, this is what your house looked like and this is what it looks like now. No, no, what is that thing out there? It's an ark. Why? Because God's judgment's coming. Why do you go to church? God's judgment's coming. Why are you telling me about Jesus? Because God's judgment is coming. And while he suffered the ridicule and all that, he preached righteousness. How would you like to have a church where you preach for 120 years and all that people did was laugh at you and only your family got saved? Most people would call that a failure. But Noah was a just man, and he what? He was perfect, and he walked with God. Folks, that's how far the world can go. Folks, we live in a godless world. We used to be a Christian nation. No. No. Last president was absolutely right. We're not. And you know why we're not? Because we're not being faithful witnesses. We have allowed the enemy of darkness to come in. And so Noah, in a godless world, his walk was one that he walked with God, and he was a just person, and he was perfect. And we said that that's what we need to do to serve in his name. And his work was pleasing to God. So Noah, in a godless world, Joseph in an officer's house. If you want to turn over, you could turn over to Genesis chapter 39. Joseph was prostrated by God. Now, he made all of his brothers mad, and his parents were kind of concerned when he said, you're all going to bow down to me one day. And maybe Joseph didn't have the right words to say. Maybe he needed some more tact. But sometimes the truth needs to be just put out there. And we've studied, we know this story. He was prospered by God. So what happened to him? He made his brothers mad. They sold him. They wanted to kill him, but then they sold him into slavery, and he winds up in Egypt. But the sovereignty of God was, God told Abraham that they were going, that his descendants were going to come out of Egypt. So this is God's timetable. This is God's hand working. And Joseph is a type of Christ. Folks, we need to be types of Christ too. We need to fulfill Scripture as God wants us to. And it says in verses 2 and 3, it says, the Lord was what? With Joseph. What do we see with Noah? He walked with God. And it says, the Lord was with Joseph. And he was a prosperous man. He was an industrious person. He wasn't lazy. We've been going through Proverbs talking about the slothful. Now, you can't be a righteous person and be slothful. It doesn't work that way. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. He was a bond slave. And his master saw that the Lord was with him. It was evident. Folks, do people out there see that the Lord is with you? Are you being industrious and prosperous for God? We're running out of time. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord may, and there's that word. All. You know why? Because Joseph gave it all to God. Made all that he did to prosper in his hand. Because see, God had a plan. And that plan was that Joseph was eventually going to be the prime minister of Egypt. And it wasn't one of these things where he was elected or anything like that. And he didn't buy an election or whatever the case may be. He just worked at it. And God took him through a whole bunch of trials to have the wisdom and the knowledge to lead a country in the midst of a famine. Folks, sometimes we go through some dirty, dark times, so on the other side we can do great things for God. Right. But are you a faithful witness in difficult places? So Joseph, an officer in Potiphar's house, he was prospered by God. He was promoted by God. You know, I hear other people say that it's hard to find what? Good help now. And when you find some good help, you kind of hang on to them. And Genesis chapter 39, verses 4 and 6, and Joseph found what? Grace in his sight. And he served him. He made him overseer over his house, and in all that he put, that he had, he put into his hand. And it came to pass from the time that he made him overseer of the house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. Folks, we have an impact on other people that you don't know about. We need to do and be a faithful witness in difficult times. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph. You don't mess with success. You know, sometimes we try to tinker with something. What do? Kind of mess it up. Potiphar's pretty smart. He said, this Joseph dude, he's pretty good. Everything I give it prospers. So I just give it all to him. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand. And here's the neat thing. He didn't care. He didn't care. He didn't know what he had. But he trusted Joseph. See, that's a faithful witness. That's a faithful one. Save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. You know, when people are happy and they're prosperous and they're doing what God wants them to do, they're happy. Their countenance changes. A merry heart does good like a medicine. A person's countenance reflects how his heart is. He was promoted by God, and he was pure before God. You know, when you become prosperous and you become successful and you're a great witness, then you're going to be tested. You're going to be tested. And he was in verses 7 and 9. We know. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph. Why? Because he was goodly and well favored. Oh, by the way, he was more powerful than her husband. Kept track of everything. And she said, lie with me. But he refused. Folks, when won't we just stop and not sin? When sin is presented at the door, we say, no, I'm not going to do it. We need that in our churches today. We need that in our lives today. We need that in our families today. He says, but he refused and said unto his master's wife, he says, behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath in my hand. There is none greater in this house than I. Neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife, and I will honor God. I'm not going to cut corners, and what people won't see won't hurt me. No. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? That's what a faithful witness does. It's verified in his walk. It's verified in his work. It comes because his promotion comes from God. He's prospered by God. He's promoted by God. And then when the time comes, you need to be pure before God. Oh, we need to make decisions that glorify him and are pure before him. So we see the first one was who? He forgot already. Okay. The second one was Joseph. Okay. And then David in a king's palace. See, David was prepared by God. We know when he fought Goliath that he came up and said, hey, I took on a bear, I took on a lion, no big deal. That guy's cursing God. He's cursing God. He deserves to die. That's God's judgment. And so he was prepared by that. But look at this. In 1 Samuel chapter 16, verses 14 through 16, sometimes you have to wait. That was when Daniel was a little bit younger, and now he's a little bit older, and Saul's gone out, and he messed up with the Amalekites and didn't do what God said. And now See, when you don't do what God says and you're not a faithful witness, bad things happen. You don't have a relationship with God anymore. You need to get that right. He says, but the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. And Saul's servant said unto him, behold now, an evil spirit from God troubled. God allowed it to happen for several reasons. So Saul would get Saul's attention, but he didn't do that. The other thing is to move David into the palace. To move him into the palace. See, that's just coincidence. No, it's not. No, it's not. It says, let our Lord now command thy servants which are before thee to seek out a man. And God just had the right person at the time. Who is a cunning player on a harp. That doesn't sound like a man of war, does it? Okay? And it shall come to pass when the evil spirit from God is upon thee that he shall play with his hand and thou shalt be well. Folks, we need to have a positive influence on the world. Can't keep saying that enough. We're supposed to be salt and light. He was prepared by God. He was placed by God. In 1 Samuel 16, verses 17 to 20, and Saul said unto his servants, provide me now a man that can play well and bring him to me. Then answered one of the servants and said, behold, I've seen a son of Jesse the Bethlehemite, that is cunning and plain and a mighty valiant man and a man of war and prudent in matters and a comely person. The Lord is, do we see what a faithful witness has? The Lord's with them all the time with Noah, with Joseph, with David. Wherefore Saul sent messengers unto Jesse and said, send me David, thy son, which is with the sheep. And Jesse took an ass laden with bread and a bottle of wine and a kid, sent them by David unto his son, and his son unto Saul. So see, he was prepared by God. He was prospered by God. And now some difficult times are going to come on. He has power from God. He has power from God. In verses 21 through 23, it says, and David came to Saul and stood before him, and he loved him greatly, and he became his what? Armor bearer. And Saul sent to Jesse saying, let David, I pray thee, sleep over. No. Let David, I pray, stand before me, for he hath found favor in my sight. And it came to pass, when the evil spirit from God was upon Saul, that David took a harp and played with his hand. So Saul was refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed from him. What are we doing in the lives of others? See, there's a world that's tormented by evil out there. And we have the answer. We have the joy. We have the peace of God. And that's what Paul, when he says, he wanted the church at Ephesus to comprehend the length and breadth and height and depth of God's love. And then to understand the power of God. And here David, prepared by God and placed by God, is now in the king's palace with power from God. And he's in the position that God wanted him to be in, so he would succeed Saul. But you know something? If you know the story here, it takes a while. We often say, good things come to them who what? Wait, that's in the Bible. No, it's not. But some people think it is because it sounds good. It sounds good. So the first one was who?
Noah.
We're paying attention. Second one was Joseph. Third one was David in a king's palace. Daniel. And he, the court, we hear this, stop the mouths of lions. In Hebrews chapter 11. Okay? Daniel 1:8. We know this. But Daniel purposed in his heart. See, a faithful witness in difficult times has a purpose. We know about the three Hebrew children. They didn't bow down to the image. They were thrown in the fiery furnace. And Nebuchadnezzar said, I'm going to give you one chance. He said, go ahead. We're not going to change our mind. But Daniel purposed in his heart they would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat or with the wine that which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. See, this is a difficult place for Daniel, but he's already been in a difficult place. Because, see, man has done some bad things to him in his situation. The first thing is his city and his country were defeated. And he was dragged out of there hundreds of miles to Babylon. That's not a thing. Boy, when someone says something bad to you, are you still a faithful witness? Or do you just roll up in a ball like a little pill bug? And then someone can just roll you across the floor. See? Daniel, just like Joseph, goes through all these things. Just like David, all the things that David had to go through. He was defeated by man. He was defiled by man. He was a eunuch. I'm not going to go into that. Some people say, things aren't going very well for you, Daniel. Okay? Got beaten up by Chaldeans. Now you're defiled and now demanded to go and do something that's totally alien to your faith. What would we have done if we were in Daniel's shoes? Would we be a faithful witness? Or would we have kind of given up and said, nah, it's not worth it anymore? His statement, I'm not going to do it. Folks, we need a lot more Christians to stand up when they're confronted with a bad business practice or something that's not ethical or not moral, and you say, I'm not going to do it. Kids, you need to listen up. There are going to be people ask you to do something, you say, I'm not going to do it. I'm just not going to do it. It's not the right thing to do. My Bible tells me that it's not the right thing to do. My parents tell me it's not the right thing to do. Worker, others want to cut corners. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. He wouldn't defile himself. His statement, he purposed in his heart. He would not defile himself with eating the wrong stuff. It was purposed for God. And whatsoever ye do, do it what? Heartily unto God and not unto men. And then it was pleasing to God. Why? Because he became more well-favored and fatter. And God, because he did this, God gave him wisdom that surpassed everybody else in the kingdom. God gave him leadership that surpassed everybody else except Nebuchadnezzar. Think about that. Think about what would happen if we would just say, God, use me. And we just purpose in our heart, we're going to do the right thing. How far could God take us? Our potential is limitless. It's limitless. So Daniel in a heathen court, he said, therefore he requested the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. And you know something? There was a little trial period there. And the prince said, okay, yeah, you win. Folks, with God, all things are possible. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Okay? We are all overcomers through him who loved us. Lastly, I think one of my favorite dudes in the Bible, Mordecai. In an enemy's presence, he lived by a higher standard. And folks, in order to be a faithful witness, you need to live by a higher standard. In Esther chapter 3, verses 1 and 3, it says, and after these things, did King Ahasuerus promote Haman, the son of Hamathadiah, the Achaite, and advanced him and set his seat above all the princes that were with him. And all the king's servants that were in the king's gate bowed and reverenced Haman, for the king had so commanded concerning him. But Mordecai bowed not, nor did him reverence. And you know what? Haman was delighted that that happened. It drove him nuts. Okay? Then the king's servants, which were in the king's gate, said to Mordecai, "Hey, what are you doing? We're all bowing down to Haman. It's not a big deal. It keeps everybody happy. Don't rock the boat. Let's be all politically correct. Let's not cause a fracas here." See, Mordecai had purposed that he was going to live by a higher standard, and he held it. He held it. Oh, Christian, don't compromise your standards. Don't compromise the Word of God. Don't compromise the will of God. See, he held the standard in the presence of peer pressure. Everybody come out and said, "Haman's getting pretty upset with you. Why don't you just give in and just do this?" Verse 4 says, "Now it came to pass when they spake daily unto him, and he hearkened not unto them, that they told Haman to see whether Mordecai's matters would stand, for he had told him that he was a Jew. And he wasn't ashamed to talk about his heritage." And folks, we as Christians should not be ashamed that we know Christ. Amen. We should not be ashamed. We should get fired up about this. So, he held the standard in the presence of fear pressure. He held the standard in the presence of fear pressure. In verses 5 and 6, it said, "When Haman saw that Mordecai bowed not, nor did him reverence, then was Haman," he was beside himself. He was full of wrath. And he thought scorn, and we've learned about that in Proverbs, right? Okay? And he thought scorn to lay hands on Mordecai alone, for they had showed him the people of Mordecai. Wherefore Haman sought to destroy all the Jews that were throughout the whole kingdom of Ahasuerus, even the people of Mordecai. So remember Elijah? He goes out and he's in a cave and, "I'm the only one left. I'm running for my life. Jezebel's after me. Didn't matter. We just slayed 400 servants of Baal. Didn't matter that we just had rain after 3 years. Doesn't matter. Someone's after me." Don't give in to fear pressure. Don't give in to peer pressure. Don't give in. What would have happened if Christ had listened to Peter? Things would be different. Things would be different. So Mordecai had a higher standard. He held that standard. So tonight, in conclusion, it's this. What's our challenge? We started in Hebrews chapter 11, and we'll go to the first two verses in Hebrews chapter 12. It says this, "Wherefore, seeing we are accomplished about with so what? Great a cloud of witnesses. You have Noah, and you have Joseph, and you have David, and you have Daniel, and you have Mordecai, and there's a whole bunch more." There's a whole bunch more. It says, "Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, what should we do? Let's lay aside every weight and the sin which has so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto," oh, this morning, whose name? Jesus. "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." See, what we need is, how is our witness in difficult times? I'm glad you're all here tonight. I'm glad you're here tonight. Because you're willing to take the risk to come out and be here in God's house. But that's just one item. What about other difficult times that we have in our life? May it a health concern or economic concern or a work concern or some sort of relationship concern. How are we a witness in that? Are we still faithful? Do we walk with God? Is the Lord with you? He said He will never leave us or forsake us. And then the last thing is, what is your focus in difficult times? See, Daniel purposed in his heart. David was prepared by God. Joseph saw the hand of God working on him. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Mordecai said, "Bring it on, dude. Bring it on. Because I'm going to honor my God." What are we going to do as individuals? What are we going to do as a church? As we've got so many examples of people who fought the good fight. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank You for this time, Lord. Just ask Me this time of invitation. Father, search our hearts. Father, if someone does not know You as Savior, Lord, I pray that tonight that when the first verse is sung, that they come forward, we show them from God's Word that You died on the cross for their sins, You rose from the dead, that You give them eternal life if they just ask for it. Lord, for us as Christians, search our hearts tonight. See if we're a faithful witness. Let Your Spirit have full reign during this time. We ask these things in Your Son's name. Amen.